Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I just happened to notice I've got about 7 or 8 extra minutes this morning, so maybe I can chase a rabbit or two. Pastors and churches, especially recently, but throughout the ages, have tried all kinds of things to get people to come to church. I remember one time here, it's been a lot of years ago now. One summer, I tried to do something different on every Sunday night. I called it Summer Sunday Nights. That's where Sunday night at the pastor's house started. And, you know, we just try all kinds of things to get people to come. Some churches have two different styles of worship. They have a traditional worship service, and then they have a contemporary worship service, and they have two sets of people that come to those services. Some have praise teams, and some have praise bands, and some have 20 or 30 minutes of singing, and some have like this big screen we've got up here. They'll, instead of having a person, a man or a woman standing and speaking, they just have somebody on the screen deliver the message. I get calls all the time from groups that are wanting to sell DVDs. You know, they say they've got DVDs from all these great, well-known Christian speakers, and you don't even need a pastor. All you got to do is just plug in the DVD and play it. Play it on the screen, and that'll draw in a crowd. I heard of one church that has a drive-in. Honestly, they pull up outside the church, and they hang one of those speakers in their window like the old drive-in theaters, and they just listen to the sermon out there on the speaker. And when the service is over, they hang the speaker up and go home. I don't know, I don't know about any of that, honestly, I don't. But I'm afraid sometimes that we get the service so cluttered up with stuff, good or bad, that we miss the message. People are entertained, and some pastors try to entertain their congregation. They think if the more entertaining that it is, the more people will come. And so they're entertained by the service. And when they leave the service, their comments are, boy, wasn't that a good singer? Or wasn't that a good video presentation? Or wasn't that light show something? Or weren't those musicians excellent? They're entertained. They're impressed. Sometimes they're impressed by the talent of the people that present part of the service. But they miss the message. They don't talk about the message. I'm not talking about the sermon. I'm talking about the message that should go forth. Acts chapter 4, verses 10 and 12 say, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That's the message. Jesus Christ was born. He was crucified. He was buried. He resurrected. He's coming again. And only Jesus saves. And it's tragic that people can come to the worship service Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and miss the message. Several weeks ago, I preached on the prodigal son's father. And when I did that, I wanted to preach on the elder son the next Sunday morning. And I just, God wouldn't let me. And so I've wanted to preach on him every week since then. And finally, God is going to let me do it. So we're going to look at the other son in the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And the reason I wanted to look at him is because he missed the message. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 25. We'll start in verse 25 and read through the end of the chapter. "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at all at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. The elder son, lived with the father, but he missed the message of the father. I want you to notice a couple of things. Because he missed the message, he did not repent. That's the tragedy when people hear the message of Jesus Christ and don't believe it, or everything surrounding the message gets their attention and they don't hear it, and then they do not repent. Look at verse 29. This is the words of the elder son. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. He thought his work made him righteous. He thought his works made him worthy of the father's abundance. The prodigal son, he left, but this guy stayed home. The prodigal son went and wasted his living. The Bible tells us that he wasted his living in riotous living, in sin. But the elder son stayed home. He lived a good moral life. Society regarded him as a good man. Society regarded him as the good son. Every now and then, Kara will call me on the phone or something. She'll say, Hi, Dad, this is your good daughter. See, that's the way society looked at the older son, the good son. Oh, he stayed home. He's not doing all that stuff. He's not wasting his money on wine, women, and song. And he's not doing the drugs. And he's not in the pigsty. Every day he goes out and he works in that field and he obeys his father. He does what his father wants him to do. He's the good son. And that's what he thought. Lo, these many years I've worked for you. But he missed the message. Romans 3:10 says, As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Our works don't make us righteous. I think that may be the greatest misconception or the biggest lie from Satan about religion that there is, and that is that works will save you. I talk to people, you talk to people, you hear people all the time. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, why are you a Christian? Well, I'm a Christian because I go to church. Well, I went 32 times last year. They keep track. I was there 32 Sunday mornings last year. I'm a Christian. I pay my tithes. Did you know that I pay my tithes? I'm a Christian. Listen, even on those Sundays when I don't go, those 20 Sundays that I missed, I sent my check in. I'm a Christian. I pay my tithes. Right? Well, I teach a Sunday school class. I've taught a Sunday school class for 25 years. Lo, all these years, Father, I've worked for it. I'm a Christian. I teach Sunday school. Well, I'm a really good person. I try not to lie. I don't cheat on my spouse. I'm a good employee. I'm a really good person. I'm a Christian. People tell me this. People tell you this. This is what people believe. Oh, well, listen, I'm rich. I got a lot of money. I got a lot of influence. Listen, you ask anybody in Blackwell, they know who I am, and I pretty much run the show kind of behind the scenes. I've got influence. I've got power. Maybe it's on a bigger level. Maybe it's statewide. Maybe it's nationwide. Maybe it's worldwide. Well, I'm a billionaire. I've got power and influence. Surely God will look at my body of work and pronounce me righteous and enter me into heaven. They missed the message. This son also said, I want you to notice, he also said, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Well, I've never sinned. That's what he said. I've never sinned. All these years I've been home. All these years I've been working. All these years I have never sinned. I do not need to repent. Oh, how many people believe that? Are you a Christian? Yes. I had a young woman come to the church just this past week, and she come in and she was in some sort of distress. She never would tell me what kind of distress it was, but we had, the church had helped her a few times with some financial things, and so she came down here. And she said, "I just want you to pray with me." And I said, "Well, what would you like for me to pray about?" "Well, I just need your prayer." And so I said, "Well, are you a Christian?" "Oh, yes." She said, "If I'm anything, I'm a Christian." I said, "Well, what does that mean?" I said, "Have you confessed your sins and asked Jesus Christ to forgive you?" "Oh, yes." I hear people say, "Oh, yes, I'm a Christian." "Well, have you confessed?" "Well, what sin?" "I don't need to repent. Listen, I'm a good person." Now, my neighbor. But I don't need to repent. I haven't sinned. I'm a really good person. They've missed the message. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The finest, most moral person who has ever walked the face of the earth is a sinner until they confess that sin and ask Jesus to forgive them. All have sinned. But I don't need to repent. And I'm good, and I work hard, and I work for the church, and so surely that makes me righteous. But the message is, there's none righteous, no, not one. And finally, the message is Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." By grace are ye saved through faith. The older son stayed home with his father, and every day he heard the message of his father. And every day he went out in the field to work for his father. And every night he came home and he thought, "Boy, I did a good job today. I didn't sin again today. I'm going to get what's coming to me. I earned it." And every day the father said, "It's a gift, son. It is a gift. By grace through faith." But he missed it. What a tragedy. I have to tell you, I've told you this before. It's not anything that you haven't heard. But, you know, sometimes a pastor who's worth anything, I guess I should qualify that. Because you know what? There's some pastors that aren't worth much. But a pastor who's worth anything will occasionally, either at night, when he's home in bed just trying to go to sleep, every Saturday night, bless our hearts. We wonder, did I make it clear enough? Did I say what God wanted me to say? Did I preach the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that if there was someone there who wasn't a Christian, they would understand, they would hear the message? What a tragedy to come and not hear the message. Sometimes it's the pastor's fault, I'll be honest with you. I could name a few pastors, prominent pastors. I won't do it because I'm being recorded and put on the internet. But I could name a few, listen, who are not preaching the message. Listen, the responsibility for that is on their shoulders. When they stand before God, they will be held liable. There are many ministers and pastors out there who are preaching the message, and the responsibility is on the people who are listening because they're not hearing. The elder son did not hear the message. He did not believe the message. The father told him, but he didn't believe it. You have heard the message. Just this morning, you have heard the message from Acts chapter 4, verses 10 and 12. The question is, do you believe the message? If you don't believe it, you won't repent. He heard it. He missed it. He didn't believe it. He didn't repent. The second thing that I want you to notice was that he did not receive. In verse 29, the son said to the father, the end of that verse, he said, "Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." Listen, when you read verses 28 and 29 along in there, you get this picture of this little pouting boy, don't you? He's upset, he's mad because his brother come home and his brother gets a party and he doesn't. Every day, lo, these many years I've worked and you never threw a party for me and my friends. Can you see him stomping his foot? Christian, I want you to circle verse 21 in your Bible. Even if you don't mark in your Bible, would you make yourself do this? Verse 31, "And the father responded, and the father said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." Isn't that a wonderful verse? For the Christian, listen to me for just a minute. Here's the rabbit I'm going to chase. As I hear Christians all the time, and sometimes I'm one of them, and all we do is complain about stuff. I don't have this, or I don't have that, or the thing that I got is old and I wish it was new, or it's worn out and I wish it wasn't, or it's the wrong color, or it's the wrong size, or it's not big enough, or it's not small enough, or it's not valuable. I don't have it. And, well, I'm not feeling as good as I did when I was 25. Just because I'm 95 doesn't mean I shouldn't feel like I'm 25. Listen, thank you. Listen to what God said. The Father said, "Son, I am always with you, and all that I have is thine." Publishers Clearinghouse is giving away $7,000 a week for the rest of your life. Anybody register for that yet? Well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get online and I'm going to register. I saw that commercial. This is the second rabbit. I saw that commercial the other day, and I'm just going to make a confession to you. I got to thinking about that. I got to figuring that in my head. Boy, how much money is that? That's a lot of money. $7,000 a week. That's a bunch of money. I figured out the cars that I could buy. And the building that I could build to put the cars in. And then you know what? And that, now listen, here's how it happens. Then I got to thinking about what I didn't have. Well, I don't have. Sold my classic car. I don't have a classic car anymore. I don't have this. I don't have that. Well, God, why couldn't you just make me rich? It'd be just so nice to be rich. The Bible says that God the Father owns the cattle of a thousand hills. The Bible says that God the Father is the creator of the universe and that it all belongs to Him. And God the Father said, "Son, all that I have is thine." You know what the elder son's problem was? He didn't receive it. Because he didn't receive the gift that the Father offered, he didn't have a relationship with the Father. Sounds crazy. Sounds impossible. They lived in the same house. But the elder son and the father had no relationship. You know how I know that? Because the elder son worked and worked and worked to earn what the father gave. But he didn't have it because he didn't receive it. He didn't love the father. He had no relationship with him, and he didn't love him. He didn't love him because he thought he had to work for him all the time, and he never got anything for it. He never would throw him a party. You ever feel that way about God? Well, you wouldn't say it out loud, would you? Well, God, here I've worked for you all these years. Man, I've taught that class and I've mopped that floor and I've cleaned that toilet or whatever it might be. I've been on visitation every week for 35 years, God. And that old sinner over there across the street that got saved, you just blessed him all kinds of ways. Why won't you bless me? And the Father says, "All I have is thine." The problem is not the Father. The problem is we have no relationship with the Father because we haven't received what the Father is offering. And what the Father is offering is forgiveness of sins. And we haven't received it because we won't repent of it. What a tragedy to miss what the Father is offering. I want you to look at Luke 15. verses 11 and 12. This is the way this parable started. And he said, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. I can't tell you how many years and how many times I read this passage of Scripture and read this parable and never saw that word, them. I always thought the prodigal son got his inheritance and he left. And the older son just had to stay home. He didn't get a thing. But the Bible says, Jesus said that the father divided unto them. He gave both sons their inheritance. And by the way, the older son got twice as much as the prodigal. That was the way they did it in those days. The older son got a double portion of the inheritance. That would mean in this case that the older son got two-thirds and the prodigal son got a third. The problem wasn't that it wasn't offered. The problem was that the elder son didn't receive it. It was all right there. I've been with you always, the father said. Everything that I have. Listen, if you wanted to have a party, all you got to do is get a kid of the goat and do it. It's yours. Have a party. Well, he was too busy working trying to earn the father's favor when he already had the father's love. But he didn't love the father. I also know that he didn't love the father because he didn't rejoice with the father. Right? The father was glad because the prodigal son came home. The elder son was mad because the prodigal son came home. Seems to have known what the prodigal son was doing. He said, well, he's wasted his living with harlots. He already knew. Kind of sticking his nose up, looking down his nose at him, judgmental. Why would you have a party for him? Why not me? I'm not glad he came home. All he's done is take one of those calves. All he's done is make me mad. All he's done is make me jealous. All he's done is gotten what I deserve. You get the attitude? Unfortunately, that's the attitude of our world today. I deserve. Unfortunately, that's the attitude of Christians today. God, I deserve your blessing. I shouldn't have to be thankful for it. I worked for it. I shouldn't have to ask you for it. I earned it. You shouldn't be stingy with it. I deserve it. And the problem is we've never received the Father. We've never received His love. We've never received His blessings. It's all right there, but we won't receive it because it's a gift and we want to earn it. Salvation is a free gift. Available to everyone. Forgiveness of sin is a free gift available to everyone. Redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ is a free gift available to everyone, but it's nobody's until we receive it. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's receiving the gift of salvation. I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess that Jesus Christ is the only living Son of God. And I receive Him. I receive what He's offering. That's salvation. And then we have a relationship with the Father. Then we love the Father. Then we get to enjoy the abundance of the Father because it's all ours. See? That's the message. Do you believe it? I'm not talking about name it and claim it doctrine. I'm not talking about getting everything you want. Everything that we desire is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We mess it up with other stuff. We mess it up with material possessions and health and all those other things. But really, the truth is, when we really understand it and when we come to Jesus Christ, we understand that all that we desire is found in a relationship with Him. All that He has is available to us if we'll receive it. But the older son missed the message, so he didn't repent, and he didn't receive. And finally, we see that because he missed the message, he did not rejoice. When the prodigal son came home, you know the story. The prodigal son repented, and because he repented, the father forgave him. And because the father forgave him, he received the gift that the father offered, all those things. Boy, they had a big party. They had a celebration. You know, he put the ring on his finger and the robe on him and the sandals on his feet and cleaned him up. And, and killed the fatted calf and called in all of his friends and his son's friends, and they were having a big party. And the elder son was out in the field, and when he came home, and he heard the noise of the party, he heard the music and the laughter, and maybe he could see the people dancing, maybe he could see those shadows inside the tent, and so he called one of the servants. Did you ever find that interesting that he didn't call the father? But he doesn't have a relationship with the father. He doesn't love the father. So he called one of the servants and he said, "What's going on?" Here's what the servant said, verses 27 and 28. And he said unto him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in." I want you to notice those words. He would not go in. He could have gone in. He could have celebrated. He could have rejoiced. He could have eaten the fatted calf. He could have laughed and sang with all of the others. He could have, but he would not. And then I want you to notice what happened in the rest of that verse 28. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. The father, listen to this picture and think of Jesus Christ. The father left the party. He left the merriment. And he came out to the older son. And the Bible says that he entreated him. That word entreated means begged. The father begged the son to come in. Oh, son, listen, right on the other side of that tent wall, there's a celebration going on. There's plenty of food. There's plenty of drink. There's song. There's singing. There's laughter. There's enjoyment. There's lightness. There's frivolity. There's a celebration. There's a rejoicing. Oh, son, why won't you just come in? And he would not. He missed the message. He would not repent. He would not receive. He could not rejoice. Here's the message. Don't miss it. Jesus Christ left the throne of glory where he was worshipped and adored by the angels. And he came and was born of a virgin in a stable, in a manger. He lived a life of relative poverty for 30 years. And then he began to preach the gospel, his own gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. And during those 3 years or so that he preached that message, he was rebuked and criticized and hated and ignored. They tried to stone him repeatedly. Some called him crazy. Some said he was demon-possessed. Some said he was the devil himself. This is the message. Don't miss it. And then they arrested him and they crucified him. They mocked him. They spit on his face. They beat him with a rod, put a crown of thorns in his head. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. They mutilated his body. The Bible says that his image, his vices, was changed and marred more than any man who's ever existed. But he allowed himself to be crucified and brutalized, and he gave his life on the cross of Calvary. They buried him in a tomb that was borrowed because he didn't even have the money for burial. 3 days later, he arose from the dead. And he ascended to the Father. And he offers you and me forgiveness and grace and mercy and love and redemption from the condemnation of sin. He invites us to the party. That's the message. If you will hear the message, will you repent? Will you receive the gift that Jesus offers? By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Would you stand with me this morning?